I must say, Justin, I'm very disappointed. I was expecting at least a few retirement jokes. Maybe I'll have to include them. 2 years ago today, I was helping my granddaughter set up a homemade ice cream stand in the small town of Moundridge, Kansas, in 107-degree weather. I had just cleaned out my office, turned in my keys, and walked out of the building that I had called home for 17 years. That departure also signaled the end of a 45-year career in Christian education and camping leadership. Life was going to change. How? I didn't know. And the unknown was the cause for significant anxiety, even to the point of some physical illness. The advice that I received was mixed. Some said, take your time. Don't say yes to anything for 6 months. Others said a year. Others said, sign up for stuff right away. Volunteer opportunities. Others suggested starting a hobby. And some told stories about not really adjusting to retirement for 3, 5, or even 7 years. Regardless of how one experiences retirement, it is a life-changing experience, not unlike some that you have gone through, starting school in kindergarten or first grade, which I think we honor by giving a t-shirt, getting your driver's license, graduating from high school, graduating from college, getting married, getting divorced, having children, the death of a loved one. In each of these experiences, when one compares life before the event with life after the event, we can often find gains and losses, along with the adjustments that are necessary to adequately cope with the changes. Starting school provides many new and fresh learning opportunities, but there is a loss of freedom and unstructured time for the child. More free time for the parents, but loss of time with their children. Getting your driver's license gives teenager more freedom and flexibility, but adds a level of responsibility for the safety of themselves and others. Marriage requires finding a way for two individuals who lived by themselves to navigate living together. And having children, the joy of new life, along with the dependency that that child has on you. Life will never be the same. I could share examples for each of the situations that were mentioned, but I'm sure you can do that as well, because I am sure that each of you have had a life-altering event. Similar to Zion, many congregations recognize and celebrate most of these life-changing milestones with some form of recognition or gift. I am pleased that the leadership here at Zion has decided to add retirement to the list of other special events that we recognize. We will start that tradition today by honoring those listed on the back of the order of worship. I hope we still have correct information from everyone. If not, please see me afterwards and we'll get it straightened out. We are also working on a way to honor stay-at-home moms and dads, those who have not worked outside of the home. At what point do they retire? Just a side note, maybe it's when the last one leaves the house. Although in today's world, they tend to circle back to our basements anyway. As I mentioned, everyone who retires has unique experiences based on any number of circumstances. I believe that some people have a job to provide steady income for the family or themselves, but their real satisfaction, their real purpose, their real identity and joy comes from what they do outside of that job. Could be coaching, playing in a band, artistic endeavors, volunteering. There are other people who I believe have employment that provides almost everything they need, emotionally, psychologically, socially, and spiritually. They are engaged in work that provides identity, satisfaction, and purpose. And for some, a strong work ethic, whether it comes from Swiss-German heritage or simply the American culture, does create a challenge when moving into retirement. Many people, myself included, have a really hard time transitioning from doing to being. It simply doesn't feel right to sit down to read a book, listen to a podcast, go for a long walk, or visit a friend at 10 o'clock in the morning or 1:30 in the afternoon. We should be working. Since each situation is different, I've asked three retirees to help me with this part of the sermon by answering a few questions that should shed some light on the variety of experiences. So if Becky and Ben and Karen would come to join me here on these chairs, I'd appreciate it. That's okay. So the first question that we would like to hear a response from would be to tell us one or two ways, there's many, one or two ways in which your life has changed since you've retired. That could be expressed in what I had mentioned before, gains and losses. It could also be how they have experienced their life pre-retirement and later. So Becky, could you share one or two ways in which your life has changed and either gains or losses?
So gains, more rest. I don't use my alarm clock anymore. So I just sleep until I wake up. And that's awesome. Less stress. So I spent 40 plus years sitting in front of a computer screen, and I don't miss that at all. What I do miss is the problem solving that I did in writing computer programs. But I've discovered that life presents enough problems that there are still things to solve. So.
A gain for me was also the alarm clock thing, which is very, very nice. Also less stress for myself. The loss was not doing something that gave me such passion and joy and laughter in my life. Working with 4 and 5 year olds, they will keep you entertained, trust me. And I think there was a loss of professionalism, the getting up every morning and trying to dress professionally and be off doing something I love to staying at home all day and finding things that I love to fill that space.
Well, I would ditto what you've all said. For me, a metaphor that I use is the way my life changes is like a fish out of water onto the shore and flopping around. That was how drastic of a change it was for me. I lost the adjective before my name. I used to have Pastor before Ben, and now I no longer had Pastor Ben, which was part of my identity and part of the rhythm that ordered my week and my life. And that was no longer there, so I was literally like a fish out of water. So the things that I was aware of, those losses, and also what gives purpose and meaning and value, worth, to me as an individual, could not depend on what I did or how I connected. The other significant loss for Kathy and I was, that I think is somewhat unique, is that we also lost a church community. When I retired as pastor, the church that I was at for 15 years was no longer available for a family, my church family. And 5 months after I retired, COVID hit. So for over 2 years, we were floundering without a church family. And we often would talk, well, what would happen if, or who would we turn to if we needed something really significant, support and help in our family, because they didn't have a church community. We will never minimize or take for granted what it means to be part of a church community and a faith, a family of faith, which is so significant, and what we are delighted to be part of with Zion here. So along with the change in identity and rhythms, I did gain weekends. I suddenly have weekends. So what do I do with weekends? Used to be Mondays and Tuesdays you do all the work, and now there's the time. And also less stress. I actually had less acid reflux and GERD issues. Sort of simply weren't there anymore, which was wonderful. I gained many weeknights that would then otherwise spent in sitting in committee meetings or agendas, and unstructured time I gained availability. When you have a lot of obligations with your time, you're not really available. And we had a number of family, significant family needs, our children and grandchildren, to be able to be available for, and less urgency of things to get done or to do.
Welcome to the world of six Saturdays. Ben, you can start us off with this one. No doubt you didn't just suddenly wake up one morning and say, I'm done. There was preparation time, etc. How close right now is retirement to what you thought it was going to be? So certainly you had an idea with many people telling you. I'd be interested to know how close reality is to what you envisioned prior to it for all of you.
Well, I'm wired not to have all my ducks in a row before jumping into something. I think some of that's ADD and some of it's just I'm better on the fly than preparing and organizing. That's why I married Kathy. She's one for it. And also the last 9 months of my time in pastoring was pretty intense. And I had really no time to prepare, literally, for what was coming after. So I really did wake up and I was in retirement, other than meeting with a financial advisor to set up Social Security and Medicare and those kinds of things. And we did not need to continue employment. We were okay with what we have. So but there were new demands that weren't there before, some having to do with family. There is also, I think I'm one of those that fall into the category of, it'll be 5 years this fall that I've retired. I think I'm still trying to find my way through this. And there's issues of, for me, am I doing enough? Or am I doing too much? Where is this balance? I volunteer 1 day a week as a chaplain at RMH, which is a wonderful experience. But that 1 day is enough for me. Mm-hmm. I go home exhausted. I'm socially out of shape. Things that I used to do regularly every day, now I go home and take a nap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a plan. I had a 3-year plan of how I was going to exit my classroom, how I was going to give my teaching children's books, literature, library away, how I was going to divvy up materials that I've spent hours making. I had a plan. But so did God. And when you pray things like, Lord, take me out before I need to go, or if you pray things like, Lord, help us figure out what the root cause of this cough is so that I can undeniably not reason myself out of what you're showing me. So for me, it was a health matter. And I felt like all my plans were totally gone. And in retrospect, it was the best teaching year that I have ever had in my entire teaching career. And that was a gift straight from God's hand. He wouldn't have had to do that, but he did that. So losing something quickly, God answered that prayer about my health at the end of April. And I had to resign at the end of May because they could not do all of the things that needed to be done to address the mold issue. And so I resigned. So it's not necessarily that I had thought about my retirement. It was like, whoa. And it felt like the rug had been jerked from under my feet. And I felt a huge sense of loss. But then as my son so wisely reminded me, Mom, just keep your focus on why you resigned and focus on how you're going to improve your health. And that got me over my little heartbreak because we do have to grieve those losses. And I tell my grandson now, he's the best student that I've ever had. And I would not trade anything in this world for being able to move down here closer to be with my mom, who was diagnosed with vascular dementia, and to spend time with my new grandson, taking care of him. So God has a way of just turning our world upside down. And the new thing, you know, I feel like I'm still trying to figure out what that new thing is, but I have really enjoyed being able to serve on church committees that are not just in relation to children, but that are outreach and service and, you know, some other things too, and being able to help with Bridge of Hope and Church World Services and be part of a small group and not be worried about giving up my evening times if I'm working part-time has just really been a gift to me. So this resignation, early retirement, has really turned out to be a good thing for my health and also for my social and personal, spiritual, all the needs that we have in all the seasons of our lives.
So I'm a planner. Sarah gets it honestly from me. So I did plan. Someone told me that you don't retire from something, you retire to something. So I wanted to make sure that I had something to retire to. I sat down and made a list of the things I wanted to do. And it hasn't gone exactly like I planned, but pretty close, really. The first few months were the biggest adjustment because you do go from structuring your day. You have to be at work by a certain time, and you know you can't do things during the day that you know do errands and doctor appointments and all that stuff. And suddenly you have this whole day that you get to plan yourself, and so it is a big adjustment to go from knowing what your schedule is to being able to make up your own schedule. And some people have a lot more difficulty than others. I do let myself just read books sometimes. In fact, I had a day a couple days ago where it was just like, you know, this is a really good book and I'm gonna spend some time reading it. It's kind of what I thought it would be, in a good way.
Yeah, it's a little disheartening when you get to the end of the day and your Fitbit says you've only walked 410 steps.
I do try to take a two-mile walk every day.
I figure you probably would, but for me, once in a while. And finally, maybe this is a little bit of a repeat, but in terms of the preparation, there are some people sitting out here who are close to that retirement and others. If you prepared, how did that help you, or what piece of advice would you give to people who are starting to think about retiring?
So one of the things I have always wanted to do is learn to play the cello. You saw me play this morning. And that was on my bucket list, but I didn't feel like I should wait until retirement to start learning. So really about 4 years before I retired, I decided to start taking cello lessons so that by the time I retired, I would actually feel confident enough to be able to play for church and things like that. So that's what I did. I started taking lessons and loved it. And it's one of the things that gives me great joy. I will never be, you know, part of an orchestra probably or a good solo performer, but it is so much fun and it gives me energy and I love it. So I planned for that several years before I retired, knowing that when I retired, I wanted to be able to continue it and even do more. The other things on my list were taking some classes at JMU, and they have a lifetime learning program for retirees that you sign up for, and you can take, you know, 6-week classes where you don't have any homework, you don't really have to do any reading if you don't want to, but you just go and you learn stuff, and it's just been really fun. I took an herb class, I took a class on weather, I took a class on, Nancy Heise taught a class on Jewish writings between the Old and New Testament, just all kinds of stuff they offer. And that's really been fun as well, to just have time to be able to do that, you know, in the middle of the day. More biking. We plan to do more rail trails. And learning Spanish is on my list, and I haven't done that one yet, so that's still ahead of me.
I think for myself, it took me a couple months to... I knew in my mind that God was faithful and that his next step would be good. My son also reminded me that my next step might be harder than any season that I've ever had. But God is always with us. And so I think learning how to get your heart and your head on the same page before your God took some work, took some effort, but I was able to travel with Kevin from September through when COVID started in March. And so we were able to take some really, three really good trips. Yes, he was off doing his own thing, but they were places that I had interest in looking and touring about myself. So even in the times when our hearts and our heads are not in sync, and we know in our mind that God knows what he's doing, but we're grieving the loss of something, that takes some time, and we can't ignore it. We have to process that, and that took a while to do, but it's just been really good.
For me, Becky, I'm tired just listening to it. For me, I was just focused on, man, I won't have any responsibilities. I won't have any evening meetings or weekend plans. It's free and open. I didn't plan for those things. But it's also like children, marriage, job change, move. You really can't prepare for it until you're in it. I mean, you can prepare all you want for these major transitions, but it's until you're in it that you actually have to find your way through it. And that's how I am experiencing it. People will say, well, what keeps you busy? And I don't know how to answer them, because that's why I retired, is I don't want to be busy. But I find my week is full. There's things that fill it up. But I really try to stay away from a sense of busyness. Mm-hmm. And so the preparedness was like, just get me there to the finish line. And then, okay, then I'll figure out what to do after that. And Kathy and I enjoy hosting. We can occupy the same kitchen space amicably. And we enjoy, I chop and she seasons. And we we're able to be available for children and grandchildren. That's just been something that we're still finding a way, taking bike rides and walks, and not feeling guilty about trying to reschedule other things to make that happen.
Thank you very much for participating. Jim, if you would come and read the final scripture, you may go back to your seats, give that back to Elwood. And Jim, if you would come and read the final scripture for us.
This is Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength.
As you have heard, any life-altering experience, retirement is like that. It provides both joys and challenges. There are also many paradoxes that I have found. Yes, we have more time, but it takes us longer to do things. I'm sure you have heard a retiree say that they are busier now than when they were employed. The next time you hear that, please remind them that it takes them twice as long to do half as much. That's why they're busy. While there is a sense of freedom from a work routine, the reality is that many of us simply can't do the things we used to do or want to continue to do. I remember Betty Lou commenting during the sharing time that it was hard to face the reality of what we can no longer do and how many things we no longer need. People retire at a variety of ages, yet a retiree is often considered to be in the category of old age. And often older persons are seen as wise sages with answers to a myriad of questions. I will speak for myself and say that I don't consider myself to be wise. What I do have is more experiences. That doesn't make me wiser. Perhaps it simply makes me a little bit more seasoned. And with that seasoning, I have found a few rough edges to be smoothed out. It has also made me less certain about things than I was in my 30s and 40s. If you come to me seeking answers as the wise sage, you might get more questions in return. As I reflect back on my 71 years, I see less black and white and more gray in the world. It seems that life for the aging is more complicated at the very time when our mental capacities might be diminishing. I have yet to figure out why we have to navigate Medicare, Medicaid, supplemental IRAs, retirement plans, and let alone everything's done electronically at a time when my faculties might be diminishing just a little bit. It doesn't make any sense to me. However, Paul says that he has learned to be content in every situation, and he indicates that he has learned the secret for that contentment. I'm not sure, however, that he fully reveals the secret, although he does say, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. In the passage that Kathy read, Peter is a little bit more clear when he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. The promise is that if we know him, we have the ability to grow spiritually as we encounter the challenges of life. Life-changing experiences often upset our equilibrium for a time, and our goal should be to find contentment through Christ. Peter lists just a few of the qualities that we should be adding to our faith: goodness, godliness, self-control, and that's only a partial list. Life-altering experiences, childbirth, marriage, retirement, et cetera, give us the opportunity to add to our faith and to grow each of these qualities. So the challenge remains for those of us who are retired, but it is equally true for those of you either close or far away from retirement. Are we walking with Christ in ways that our life-changing experiences will help us add to our faith? Please don't wait for retirement.